You're tuned in to the Grace Curley Show podcast. Listen to Grace live daily before Howie's show. For station and time, go to gracecurleyshow.com. Enjoy.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Hey, it's not the Howie Carr Show. It's my show. And I brought my own music.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest, the Archduchess of the AM airwaves. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Get ready, Boston. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Friday. We've earned this Friday. It's been quite the week. And I wanted, we're doing a Grace's Goodies today, which is really exciting. But this Grace's Goodies needs a little bit of an introduction because it's Cape Gun Works and there's a lot of gun news right now. And I wanted to talk to Toby Leary from Cape Gun Works about some of it. Thank you for being with me, Toby.
Hey, Grace, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on. So I want to start with my question about gun control. Obviously, gun sales have been at a record high over the past couple of months, but Joe Biden is really pledging, and I'm going to read you something here that I hadn't seen until today. He said, as president, I pledge to continue to work together with Congresswoman Giffords and with survivors, families, and advocates across the country to defeat the NRA and end gun violence in America. What do you have to say about that, Toby? Are you nervous about the incoming administration and, you know, people's right to own, to bear arms?
Yeah, well, in the second Obama term, like, there was a lot of chatter about gun control and whatnot, and it turned into Obama being the gun salesman of the decade. I mean, there was, you know, guns were sold at a faster rate under the Obama administration than any other president or any other time in our history. And Joe Biden just told Obama, hold my beer. You haven't seen anything yet. And that's exactly what's going on right now. So the amount of legislation that is being proposed or talked about is unbelievable. And it is so far reaching, it would totally change the way the Second Amendment is in our country forever. And so there's good reason to be nervous about that. And I'm not an alarmist by any stretch of the imagination. I don't try to play off people's emotions about it. And I don't have to, frankly, because the media is doing a very good job of it right now. But when he takes someone like Beto O'Rourke, who said in the debates, hell yeah, we're coming for your AR-15s and your AK-47s, and appoints him his gun control czar, you know, what more needs to be said? He is coming hard and fast for our Second Amendment freedoms. It's no secret. This is the first time they've campaigned on that overtly. Like, normally they kind of do it with some subtlety and say things like, oh, common sense, gun control, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we got to keep, you know, this out of the hands of, you know, criminals and felons, which everybody agrees with.
Right.
This time it was, no, we're coming for your guns. We're going to go door to door. We're going to force you into a buyback. It's, you know, it's just crazy. And, you know, I didn't think the world or the country was receptive to that. And, but, you know, they're moving forward. They're marching on. So here we are.
I mean, in Beto's defense, at least he said it correctly. I think Joe Biden had called them AR-14s at one point. So at least he knew what he was talking about to some degree. But I wanted to read you this, Toby. This is from the Washington Post. It's a labor organizer actually was criticizing Biden's plan. And the person said, Biden's plan falls into a long line of government efforts to disarm the working class while keeping the lanes clear for the privileged who can afford whatever legal curveballs are thrown their way. This divisive plan will do little to curb gun violence and will instead hammer home the vast inequalities still dividing this nation. It's less to me about, you know, scaring people, but it's more to open people's eyes to this is not going to do what they think it's going to do. This is not going to keep guns out of the hands of criminals if you go after the NRA.
Correct. Yeah, the 94 assault weapons ban that was done by the Clinton administration had a 10-year sunset provision, and it was contingent upon it actually reducing gun violence. Well, at the end of 10 years, they did the study and realized it didn't do a dang thing to reduce gun violence in America. It never does. It's not about that. But at least the politicians that voted it in 94 had the foresight to say, all right, we'll give you one here and we'll track it and see if it actually does reduce gun violence, even though that's irrelevant to the Second Amendment. But they at least wanted to track it and apply it to something. So at the end of the 10 years, they go, yeah, there's no change in violent gun use. So we're going to make this go away. And they did. It sunset and it went away, except for in Massachusetts, we made it permanent. So this is not going to do a thing to make you safer. It never does. Gun violence actually does the opposite. Gun control does the opposite. If you look at Chicago should be ground zero. It should be the mecca for gun control working, but it doesn't. Every weekend, 50 or 80 people are gunned down in all kinds of gun violence, but it has some of the most stringent gun control regulations in the country. So
it's almost like it's all talking points, and it's all something that these politicians can go around talking about forever and ever, knowing that it's not actually going to do any good. And it reminds me a lot of other laws, too, where people just want to put things on the book that they can't enforce and they can't see through, but it makes them feel good and it makes their, the fringe of their party feel better.
Right. That's exactly what it is. It's a solution in search of a problem. And the problem to gun violence isn't taking guns away from law-abiding citizens. It's enforcing the laws of the land. We don't have the stomach to put people away for a long time who use guns illegally. We never do. We never do it. In this state, we have a one-year mandatory minimum sentence for anyone who uses a gun in the commission of a crime or is a felon in possession of a gun. And it's been used maybe a handful of times in the decades that it's been in power. If it really got applied the way it should, the guy who killed Officer Gannon down here in South Yarmouth would have been doing a 30-year bid because he got arrested prior with 30 illegal guns. So he should have been in jail for a year mandatory minimum for each one of those counts. But the problem is we plea bargain him out. We say, we reduce it to a lesser charge, or he gets out on good behavior, whatever the case might be. We have no stomach or resolve to lock violent criminals and felons up for a long time in jail where they should be. And then COVID rolls around and we let them out.
Right. And we prioritize their vaccines over elderly people who aren't in nursing homes. There's a lot of problems with COVID, especially in Massachusetts. I'm talking to Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis right now. He's an expert on all things firearms. Toby, I want to read you some of these statistics. 21 million firearms were sold in 2020. That figure includes 8 million first-time gun buyers. And the part that I find interesting is, of those first-time buyers, 40% are women. So as someone who sells guns, at your store and sells ammunition and sees people coming in and out, have you been seeing this? Like, what is it? What are you seeing in your store as far as the energy and the enthusiasm for owning firearms?
Well, that's a great point. Women are by far the fastest growing demographic with the gun industry. And what happens is at first they'll come in, thinking they need a gun for security purposes and, to kind of level the playing field in the grand scheme of things. They will go through the licensing process. And then, women are very good about, once they get into something, they don't just buy a gun, take it home, throw it in the safe. Like, I used to do that as a gun collector for years. They actually want to learn about it. They want to take a class. They want to learn how to shoot efficiently and safely. They'll buy a holster. They'll take classes and private lessons. And so they end up becoming very passionate about it. And they end up, it becomes a lifestyle change for a lot of the women who are buying guns. And it's not just a new hobby. It's a new way of life. They're starting to think about their safety and security. They're starting to think about their rights a lot differently than they used to. And some women, you know, used to just believe in the right to keep and bear arms, but now they're partaking in that right, and they are very passionate and enthusiastically getting involved, and they're even, you know, shooting recreationally. They realize it's a fun hobby to get involved with, not to mention a way to keep themselves safe. And so, yeah, it's been great. We have tons of couples. We have tons of women. Every class, probably, I would say 50 to 60% of every class we do right now is women. And it's a welcome sight here in our store. And we have a lot of couples, a lot of kids in the store, a lot of women get involved. And I think it's great. And they're really getting empowered and taking responsibility for their own safety.
So leave it to the ladies. We don't just, you know, we do everything we do. We got to perfect it. We got to make it just right. So we're not just going to get a gun. We're going to become the best shooter possible. Some of us are even better at shooting than our bosses. But I don't want to get into that because, you know, I don't want to get in trouble here. But Toby, I wanted to ask you something else. You guys are great on social media. If anyone wants to check them out, it's CapeGunWorks.com. But you guys are also on Instagram, on Facebook. I know you send out newsletters. So I saw this news story about MailChimp Boots Gun Rights Group. And MailChimp, which is a very popular way of sending out emails to, you know, your entire list of people, MailChimp blocked Virginia's top gun rights group from sending newsletters through its service for unspecified reasons. There was no justification. That was what the president of the group said. They provided nothing. Basically, they just said, we need to get our stuff and be prepared to move on. Do you worry about this, about being censored on social media or a crackdown as far as your free speech is concerned?
Yeah, it's been something we've done, you know, we've battled with, especially with Facebook over the years. You know, it got to the point where I couldn't even comment on one of my own posts before I had a former Facebook employee run it up the ladder with people he knew that was able to get some of the features unlocked on my site. But yeah, we've been met with resistance when it comes to social media, when it comes to, we still could not boost a post on Instagram or Facebook. You can't, you know, YouTube demonetized a lot of the channels. And this is just the latest part of the purge where they're, you know, starting to silence anybody who doesn't believe the same as big tech. And, you know, they're booting off people off their servers, as we see with Parler and, you know, but specifically with gun-friendly sites, AR15.com was one that their servers got pulled from them, and now the whole MailChimp thing. And I know GoDaddy is another one that has been, you know, pushing, you know, people off their platform. So it's only a matter of time, I think, that, you know, you're gonna comply or you're gonna be banned from the site altogether.
I would agree with that. It's a sad truth, but I would agree. So everybody listen up. Toby is going to be on in the next segment. We have an unbelievable Grace's Goodies. I'm going to save it for the next segment, Toby, but I want people to know that if you have ever tried to get a cheap Aster deal, you know that Toby's, they run out. If not the fastest, he's one of the top three fastest. People just go on and they grab these and then they're gone. So get ready. Go to gracecurlyshow.com to get ready for Grace's Goodies. 844-500-4242. And I think what we're going to do, Toby, if it's okay with you, I know so many people. So I called my fiance today and I said, do you have any, he's trying to, you know, get a firearm. And I said, do you have any questions for Toby? And he called me up and he said, I have a lot of specific questions. And then he kept going and going. And I said, I got to go. I said, I got work to do here. But it made me think. I said, I should open up the phone lines because people always have questions about this. 844-500-4242. We're going to be back with Toby to do Grace's Goodies. And we're also going to take your calls if you have any questions about firearms or ammunition, anything like that. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I'm talking to Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks, and we're so excited. We have a great Grace's Goodies today. All you have to do to get this is go to gracecurlyshow.com. That's gracecurlyshow.com, and click on store. Now, here is the deal. While supplies last, you can purchase one full year of rain juice at Cape Gunworks. Now, it's valued at $500, but they're also going to waive the $175 initiation fee. So you're getting $675. That's the value of it for just $250. This is an incredible deal. Toby, can you tell people a little bit about what they'll get with this deal?
Yeah, absolutely. This is by far the most popular membership we ever offer. And I get people come in 365 days a year asking, when are you doing another Cheap Bastard deal? Well, here it is. So with the full membership, you never pay range fees, and you get 5% off anything you buy in the store, guns, ammo, range bags, optics, equipment, whatever. And you get 10% off any Cape Gunworks classes that we offer. So that's a huge benefit right there. Then you get a 30-day, 100% satisfaction guarantee of every firearm you purchase. You know, if you try it, you take it home and you go, it doesn't fit my hand. You used to take a pretty big hit on that. But as a member, you're going to get a full refund on that. You get a satisfaction guarantee for 30 days of any firearm you purchase from us. So you get access to our indoor archery range as well. And one of the most wonderfully designed full cotton t-shirts that say you're a proud member of Cape Gunworks. So that's what you get with membership. And we're open 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. on the range, and 11 to 5 on Sundays. So,
and Toby, we only have 20 of these available, so everyone should get to gracecurlyshow.com. These will go fast. And I wanted to let people know, this is a state-of-the-art gun range. It's absolutely beautiful. I've been there several times. If you've never been to Cape Gunworks, you might not know what to expect. It's so gorgeous, and there's the shop there. I like to always get a t-shirt when I'm there, because who can resist? But Toby, can I get one caller on before you have to go?
Absolutely, yeah.
Chet, you're next with Grace and Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Chet, what's your question really quick?
I bought a shotgun from a dealer, and they told me the background check only take about 10 minutes, and it's going on 9 days. Does that sound a little strange to you?
Not exactly. About 30% of the time we get a delay. So if you get a delay, it should only take 3 business days. So if you do it on a Tuesday, you got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so you'd be available to pick it up the following Monday. So hopefully that makes sense. If you haven't heard from them, I would give them a call and say, hey, it's been 9 days. Am I all clear to come pick up the weapon? And they should be able to tell you yes or no. We get calls all the time from people who are on delay to check the status. So it does happen about 30 or 40% of the time. So
let's try to fit in one more, Toby, because we got full lines here. Jim, you're next with Toby. What's your question?
Hi, Grace. Love the show. Toby, I am a prospective first-time firearm buyer, and I'm just sort of getting my feet wet in the topic. What do I need to, like, bring, and what can I expect for the, gun buying process as a first-time one?
Yeah. Yeah, great question, actually, because a lot of people need to know this. You get your license to carry, and then you have to bring the state-issued PIN number that they give you with the license. When you get the license, you want to make sure you bring that PIN number, because we have a lot of people who drive from Worcester or Springfield or come over from the islands and they forget that PIN number. And if it's outside of the typical business hours at the state, or they're really swamped, they can't call and retrieve that PIN.
Toby, thank you so much for calling in. We're running out of time. CapeGunworks.com. Go to GraceCurlyShow.com to get the deal quickly.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show, and happy Friday. We just had Toby Leary on from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis, and we offered an incredible Grace's Goodies, which is valued at over $675. It's an annual, I don't want to get this wrong, Jared, because it's an annual pass to Cape Gunworks, and it includes a ton of stuff. You can check it out on the website, but we're giving it to people at $250, which is more than half off. It's ridiculous how low that price is. They're going to go fast. We only have 20 available, and now we have less than 20. So gracecurlyshow.com, click on the store and check that out. And also, I just wanted to let people know, we'll have Toby on more often. I know a lot of you guys have firearms questions. We weren't able to get to you all, but he also has a show on WXTK 95.1 on Saturdays from 7 to 8 p.m. So if anyone wants to listen to that, he's great on radio. He really answers all your questions, and he's just so knowledgeable about it. Speaking of people who know a lot of info, we have John Hinderacher joining us now from Paroline Blog, one of my favorite people to talk to about all things politics. Thank you so much for joining us, John.
Hi, Grace, and congratulations on the new show.
Thank you so much. So the first thing I have to ask you, I read Paroline Blog every single day, and the reason I love it is because you have so many blogs that are smaller and like they're like bite-sized. You can just consume them throughout the day, and you just kind of get your vibe on things without this long spiel about, you know, the history of impeachment or anything. You just tell us what you think about it. And I cracked up when I read your first line. You said, "Not the most evil political act of my lifetime, but perhaps the dumbest." Give us your take on impeachment and why you think it's so dumb.
Well, you know, the whole point of impeachment is to remove a federal office holder from office. And, you know, the Democrats have been talking about impeaching Donald Trump since before he was inaugurated. Then they did impeach him a couple of years ago, and now they have impeached him again as he is just about to leave the White House. So what's the point? By the time the Senate can have a trial, and it's still kind of up in the air as to whether that's actually going to happen, or if so, when or how. But if it does happen, it'll happen after Trump has already left office. And it's just an unbelievable waste of time. And what it really exposes is the absence of any coherent, positive agenda from Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the Democrats. If they had an agenda that's popular with voters and that's meaningful, that's what they would be talking about, not this endless Trump hatred that they've been driving for the last 4 years.
And it's amazing to me, John, because Biden obviously gave some sort of speech yesterday. I did not watch it, I'm not going to lie to you. But I went over it today a little bit here and there, and I was looking for some criticism of it or something about his plan. It's a $1.9 trillion plan. And the media was just all over it. They were fawning over Joe Biden, that this is the greatest plan that anyone's ever put together. He's a hero. He's a true leader. I mean, do you have any trust anymore in the mainstream media?
Well, I haven't had any trust for a long time, Grace. It's been quite a few years. The difference is that now nobody has any trust in the liberal media. You know, I was kind of a pioneer. You know, we at Powerline were kind of pioneers in undermining that faith in the liberal media. But you know, that job is now complete. I mean, nobody listens to these people. And look, I mean, if you believed that the federal government can create wealth by legislation, and that it is possible for $2 trillion worth of wealth to actually be created and sent out to the American people, well, then it might make sense to say, oh boy, this is a great idea. But I think most people understand that the federal government doesn't create wealth, you know, that you can print money, but that doesn't enrich anybody. And I don't know if you're familiar with this idea of, you know, modern monetary theory, you know, which no economist, to my knowledge, actually supports, not even Paul Krugman. But now there are liberals going around saying, look, the government actually can just print money. It has no bad consequences. You know, just print it, run the presses, mail it out to people, and we're all going to be better off.
I think I read something on that theory the other day, and it said that people like AOC, they feel as though, oh, you can just print money and keep printing it, and then when we need it, or when we need to tax people, we'll just tax the uber, uber wealthy.
Yeah, they call that modern monetary theory, and it's completely stupid. But that's really the basis. You know, when Joe Biden comes out with a plan like this, you know, let's just, you know, mail checks out to people, that's really what they're talking about. And there's just no basis for it.
I'm talking to John Hinderacher from Paroline Blog. It's a great blog. If you're looking for more conservative opinions, that is the place to go. So I think my favorite story that you've written in a while is about this school or the school system in Minnesota and what's happening there. So yesterday I read a story, and it was about Cupertino. a town in Cupertino, there was an elementary school, and they were trying to have the kids rank themselves based off privilege and power, and the parents got wind of it, and they were not thrilled that their third graders were learning about, you know, intersectionality in their math class. So you wrote a story, and it's not exactly the same, but there's elements of it that are similar. Tell us what's going on in under Minnesota law and what they're trying to get rid of in the curriculum.
Yeah, so under Minnesota law, there are standards and benchmarks promulgated in a number of areas, one of which is social studies. And they're staggered so that each year, one set of benchmarks and standards gets revised. And this year, it's the social studies standards. And our left-wing governor and his Department of Education have appointed a committee to carry out this revision, and the first draft got released a couple of weeks ago, and it would not have gotten much public attention except for the fact that the organization I run, the Center of the American Experiment, policy organization in Minnesota, actually read what was in these standards, and it's unbelievable. I mean, so the things that have been dropped from the standards from what they were 10 years ago include World War I, World War II, the Holocaust, the Civil War, the American Revolution, communism, and any mention of such Americans as George Washington and Thomas Jefferson.
Okay, my next question is, what's included?
Right, exactly. Any normal person would say, well, what the heck is in the standards? Answer, systemic racism in the U.S. rooted in our founding. How freedom and democracy have included or excluded certain groups throughout our history. Developing a respectful awareness of the LGBTQ plus community, the Reconstruction period, specifically successful efforts to disenfranchise newly freed black Americans, and connecting this history to persistent discrimination and inequity of the present, and an analysis of the ideology of manifest destiny and its relationship to whiteness, Christianity, and capitalism. The other thing is that there's an astonishing amount of space in these standards devoted to the history of Native Americans, which is an interesting subject, but Native Americans comprise between 1-2% of the population in Minnesota. There's just this kind of extraordinary preponderance of stuff about their history. So anyway, my organization went into action. We set up a website, raiseourstandardsmn.com. We promoted this on social media to let people know what was going on. In the space of a week, we got 5,000 Minnesotans to send letters or emails to this committee, respectfully pointing out what we see and they see, these thousands of Minnesotans, as the misguidedness of this first draft of a new set of standards. So on Monday of this week, the committee held a public meeting to talk about the feedback that it was open for public comment. You know, so now they're going to talk about the public comments that they got. Well, more than 80% of the public comments that they got came from our website, raiseourstandardsmn.com. And so, you know, the discussion, which I'm not sure they really thought anybody was going to listen in on, even though it was a public meeting done by Zoom, of course, you know, they smeared our organization and they referred to the letter that they got from more than 5,000 Minnesotans as white supremacists.
Oh, the old white supremacist card. Interesting.
You just have to laugh. If you think that our children should learn about World War I, World War II, the Civil War, the Holocaust, Revolutionary War, etc., and maybe learn who George Washington was, well, you are now a white supremacist. And so there was no discussion at all of how these comments might be taken into account as the committee goes to work on the second draft of the standards and guidelines. So we're going to stay on this, Grace. We're going to have a lot more people commenting next time around because there's going to be another time for public comments, and we'll have more time to really get them organized. But this kind of thing is happening all across America. Same thing here in the third grade. Teaching third graders about how as a white heterosexual man, you have so much more privilege than a black trans woman, although I'm not sure you can say that. That might be contradictory. I don't know. But, you know, you're talking about the third grade. The first question any third grader would have is, what's a heterosexual?
Oh my gosh. I was talking about this yesterday. I said, I used to have to sit at the kitchen table with my mom when I was in third grade. I was, you know, I wasn't the best student, and we would be going over the multiplication tables, and that was a hill we had to climb. My mom was pulling her hair out trying to teach me those. If I had come home and said to her, "Hey mom, I got to rank my power and privilege," she would have lost it.
I think sometimes we've all gone stark raving mad, Grace. I mean, I can't believe that anywhere close to a majority of Americans believe in this nonsense. It isn't possible. And so I think what has to be happening is that even though people who follow the news and, you know, so forth are well aware of this whole movement, I think most people must not be. And I think that, you know, people like you and I have just got to keep, you know, driving public awareness of how completely insane the left is in their plans for education, as in so many other things.
And John, it seems to me, the more I keep hearing about these stories, and I did see the one yesterday out of California, it's this real push to make young kids feel as though they're either evil and they're racist or they're victims. And when really they should just be learning, they should just be learning fundamental things in elementary school. But there just seems to be this victimhood of, oh, you've been oppressed or you're the oppressor. And it's you, like you said, it's ramping up everywhere.
Well, it's all about indoctrination. And they actually want our kids to be ignorant. You know, ignorance makes them malleable. If they don't actually know anything about American history, what choice do they have but to believe the nonsense that the left voice on them? You know, you can't really have it both ways. Educated people cannot easily be indoctrinated, right? So they actually want our children to be ignorant. And the what they do in the schools reflects that.
Yeah, because if you knew your history, you might say, oh, you know, communism doesn't really sound like a good idea. Or maybe, you know, maybe we shouldn't be so politically correct and we shouldn't be canceling people. It hasn't worked out well in other societies when people are acting like that. But if you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it. John, thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate it. It's Powerline Blog. I hope you'll join us again.
I sure will. Thanks, Grace. Bye-bye.
Thanks, John. Guys, everyone, that's John Hinderacher from Powerline Blog. It's really one of my favorites. Like I said, bite size. You can read all their stuff throughout the day. It doesn't take you very long. Great stuff. It will keep you informed. My friends at Eden Pure have done it again. Starting today, you can get the Thunderstorm Air Purifier at the lowest price offered to my listeners. With code word GRACE, the Thunderstorm is available for under $90 and shipping is free. This New Year sale is while supplies last. The Thunderstorm is a small device. I'm holding it in my hand right now. You can see how small it is. You just plug it into the wall. It's not one of these big behemoths where you have to, you know, it takes up your whole floor space and it's really loud. This is quiet. There's no filters needed. You don't have to spend $600 on it. We love them here in the office. We move this one around all the time from the kitchen into here. And it's great. It doesn't take up any floor space. Like I said, it's very quiet. Take advantage of this 1 week only sale and experience for yourself what all the listeners, Howie, and advertisers are raving about. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACE. That's EdenPure.com, code word GRACE. Shipping is free. Stop ordering stuff off Amazon. Go to EdenPure.com, order something, and get it delivered to you from someone besides Jeff Bezos. Guys, when we get back, we have more sound to play and a lot more to get to. In the 2 o'clock hour, we will be opening up the phone lines because I don't know if you guys know this, but the lottery, the Mega Millions, it's getting really high. And I want to know, if you win, what are you going to do with the money? But we're going to wait on that. We have more to get to before that. And this is The Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone. This is The Grace Curley Show. I hope everyone's having a good Friday. This show is moving right along. We've had some great guests. If you guys want to check out the podcast, it's gracecurlyshow.com. And you can also click on store and get our Grace's Goodie, which is Cape Gunworks today. It's an annual pass. It usually goes for, I think,
$650.
$675. And it's only $250. I don't think there's a lot left, but there's a few. So hop on that now, gracecurlyshow.com. While you're there, you can vote in our poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. I love it for my basement. To get the damp smell out of there, take advantage of their New Year sale. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACE to save $10 and get free shipping. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Well, Anderson Cooper mentioned John Sullivan during his show tonight.
So for those of you who do not know, John Sullivan is the left activist who was at the Capitol. He claimed that he was there to just document the riot, but now it's come out through his own video that he was actually instigating a lot of the behavior. And also, he said something to the cops at one point, like, you have to stand down. I'm going to get that exact quote, but pretty much not exactly what the left was trying to make him out to be, which was, you know, just this filmmaker or just this guy who was trying to get footage. So I'm going to say no, Jared. I do not think Anderson Cooper will mention John Sullivan.
98% of the audience say no, he will not.
I do want to play some of this sound, Jared. You can pick whatever one you think is best, but this is Anderson Cooper interviewing John Sullivan. Like I said, the left can't wait on anything. They can't say, wait, this guy, he's a left-wing activist, and he was there. He just happened to be there documenting the footage inside the Capitol while this was happening. There's none of that reason or rationale. They just have to go for it because it's so good, and it fits their narrative. And they run with it right away. So listen to Anderson Cooper talking to John Sullivan.
So just what I can tell,
just be clear, was it a police officer who shot her?
I don't know if it was police or a private security guard. I couldn't see what they were wearing. I only can assume it would have been police based on everything that we've met up until that point.
So they were in an area that protesters were trying to get or rioters were trying to get into? Is that what you're basing it on? I mean, was it an area that, you know, some of these rioters were already inside of, or was it an area they were trying to get into that the shot came from?
So it was an area that was completely blocked off. They had chairs up against the doorway, like tables, so people couldn't get in. So no one has been in there.
Okay.
So some of the stuff that John Sullivan was saying, he said this to cops. He said, "You are putting yourself in harm's way. The people have spoken. And there are too many people. You got to stand down." He also said, "We got to get this bleep burned. It's our house, bleeps. We are getting this bleep," as he roamed the building. And then when he went on with Anderson Cooper, he was, you know, he was very neutral. He was telling people, "Listen, I was just there to film this, and I just happened to be there."
This is an apple.
This is a Trump supporter. This is what they want you to believe, that this kid who was in there wreaking havoc was MAGA. And he admitted that he was trying to blend in with the crowd. He said that was like part of getting the footage, was he had to blend in. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And of course, Anderson Cooper eats it right up because he's so much smarter than us. He's so much better than us. He doesn't go to the Olive Garden. And of course, he does all of his research and comes up with this kid to have on his show. It's absolutely absurd. Guys, when we get back, we have a lot more to get to. I'm going to open the phone lines now because I told you guys what our next segment is going to be, the Mega Millions, the Powerball. I don't know which, I have the article here and we'll get more into it. The $1 billion combined winnings in Mega Millions and the Powerball jackpot. That is a lot of money. And I guess people aren't buying, what are they called, tickets? I never buy them, can you tell? People aren't buying them right now, which surprised me because I thought right now during this coronavirus, people would be buying that a lot, you know, dreaming, being hopeful about winning it. But I guess people haven't. But my question for you guys, 844-500-4242, if you won this jackpot, what are you spending your money on? Call in, guys. We're going to take your calls on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.